Hello, it's Viking English, podcast on how to get along with those who turn us on, especially if English is not your first language. And this is a very special episode, it differs from all of the others. First, we recorded it while traveling, not in a studio, but in the kitchen of a rented apartment in Valencia. And instead of microphones, we used iPhones wrapped in our socks. I bet you can tell it by the sound. Secondly, this time we don't have Mr. Brad's lessons, but we are playing You Would Rather instead. So listen to the road version of Viking English.
So, how did we end up in Valencia?
I don't know. I just jumped in your car.
Yeah.
And end up in Valencia.
Okay. How do you like it here?
I've never been to Spain before.
Really? Is that a confession to make? Okay.
No, it's not a confession. Well, there are a lot of places I've never been before. Madagascar.
Oh, yeah, Madagascar. Yeah, I haven't either. But I just wanted to share that we are on the same road trip together with your sister and my wife, if that's okay to say. I mean, it's not the same person, obviously, but we are on a four-person road trip, right? From Portugal to Spain.
Yep.
And this is how we ended up in Valencia, right opposite the city of arts and science, which looks very futuristic.
It was so awesome to recognize this building from Doctor Who.
Exactly.
I mean, it's right here. I'm literally on a place where it should be a rye field.
Yeah. And actually, this is what inspired the trip, because I was watching Doctor Who with my wife, who's a huge fan of Doctor Who. I don't know if David Tennant or Matt Smith are going to be, you know, listening to the podcast. You never know. But, you know, just know this. My wife is a huge fan of Doctor Who, and that's why I have to watch it with her. And then we're watching one episode, and I'm like, hey, that's Valencia. So, yeah, that was pretty much when the decision was made.
Oh, my God. I literally, in St. Petersburg, I had a cookie jar in the shape of TARDIS.
No, really?
Yeah. And my friend is living in that flat now, and she sold it on
eBay, on the version of eBay. Oh, that's so sad. But at least, you know, the TARDIS that I have took you to Valencia. Nevertheless,
yeah, it's better.
It's better. I hope it's better.
But sometimes I feel it's not only about place, because things are changing so fast. Like, in a way, you are in a small TARDIS. Like, you fly through time, and time's changing. Just kind of slow. But still,
yeah. And there's no sound like...
It is.
Oh, there is? Okay, yeah. I hope I haven't heard it in my car, because that means something is really wrong. But yeah, I hope I'll never hear it. But yeah, nevertheless. So here we are in Valencia, in a kitchen, about to play a game, right?
Yeah.
Because we love games, don't we?
So here are the rules. My sister Sasha prepared dilemmas for us. Every dilemma is a choice between very bad or two very good options. So we need to make this choice and explain it. Now you will hear everything.
It's going to be a pickle, you know, because normally we record it in a studio, right? And I can, you know, I can say whatever I want to say. But with my wife here, actually, in person, it's going to be a little bit more interesting.
Oh, my God. I'm looking for some of the questions of this game.
The first question. Would you rather forever keep your face smooth and fresh like a 14 years old, but lose the ability to express emotions at all? Or get deep facial wrinkles right now?
For me, it's easy. I choose wrinkles.
Okay. For me, It depends. How deep are the wrinkles? Am I going to look like a 90-year-old even though I'm 37? So, I mean, it really does depend on the question. I mean, if it's the you know, the regular kind of wrinkles which are consistent with my age, and as I'm aging, these are going to get deeper and deeper, that's fine by me. I just don't want to look...
Idea is exactly like...
I'm looking like a very, very ancient person.
Like whether you're stuck with your like teenage face or you're stuck with your 80 years old.
Like 80 face. Years old, like literally 80, not like 37, not my age.
No. In that case, it's not a choice. You already have your face. It's a nice face. You like it. I mean, what is the problem to choose it?
Well, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's a huge brainer for me. I mean, I don't want to look much, much older than I am right now. Even though I am not keen on beauty shots. You know, I'm very not keen on that. I haven't done it in my kind of a... In my regular age, I haven't done it. And I don't think I would want to do it. And as we were discussing in the car, actually, we talked about that a little bit. Our wrinkles are actually something that... something that makes us unique, something that is very reflective of the experiences that we've lived. And that's the problem with this question, actually, because if I'm having deeper wrinkles, that means I haven't lived that experience. So I want to live through every wrinkle that I have, but I don't want to have something extra. And I also don't want to get rid of them.
I imagined like how it could happen. Like you live your life.
Uh-huh.
And your wrinkles reflect how will you look if you continue to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
And next moment you decide to change your life and don't be so angry with the world anymore, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And your face is completely changing, like dramatically. I don't know how it would work, but the idea is that whether you cannot express emotions or emotions you express on a regular basis are on your face, like you wore these emotions for decades.
Yeah, but I mean, then I of course choose the second one, because I think I wear joy in my face much more than I wear anything else. So whatever joyous wrinkles I might have, bring them on. I don't
care.
So
we agree on that.
Yeah, we agree on that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just don't want them to appear right now. I just want this to stay hypothetical.
To earn them.
I need to earn them, yes. I need to earn my, my joyous wrinkles. Yeah, my glorious joyous wrinkles.
To have enough joy to earn them.
Okay, that was easy. We both chose wrinkles. Second question. Would you rather have success in career and fail in personal life or vice versa?
I hate that question.
Well, I said I want to listen. How will you choose? What will you choose?
I refuse to choose. No, I mean, like, honestly, why can't you have both?
But it's just a game.
I know, but oh, look at her. My wife is settling in and looking forward to my choice. Actually, it really does depend, because both are super important for me. And for me, like, I'm... Of course, when you work hard, and sometimes when I was like in different parts of my career, I had no private life, and I was fine with that, because it was like I was losing focus that I needed. But actually, with the right, person and with the right kind of relationship, it really does help you in all other areas. So it's like it's like saying, do you like your left hand over your right hand, kind of thing, you know?
Then I'll ask you a question.
No, ask.
Have you ever, it's like another game, but
all right.
Have you ever declined opportunity for personal relationships or vice versa? Have you ever?
Oh, you're tricky. Okay. I think I did both, actually. But I have to admit, I did the first thing more than I did the last. So
story. I need a story.
I need a story. God. No, I mean, like, for me, the relationships I was in, since they were you know, they're my ex relationships. So obviously there was something problematic about them a little bit. And sometimes the offers, you know, for something like, you know, going to the States to study, for example, right? So I had this offer. I mean, not offer. I won a scholarship, right, to go to the States to get my master's degree. And obviously I had a relationship back at home then. And I had to choose because I couldn't take that person with me, theoretically. But the thing is, I knew this relationship was somewhat coming to an end, but I didn't want to, I didn't want to believe it, and I didn't want to choose it lightly. So I asked that person, you know, here's the opportunity that I will take because it's for my future. But here's the option that we can have, you know, we can go together as a couple. And, you know, that was a woman. We can go together. I can ask the office that sent me to, you know, kind of, you know, maintain us as a couple. So basically, you know, do the paperwork for a normal couple, like, you know, any other couple would. And we can get married and then we go together. And this is the choice. And instead, that person, you know, broke up with me. And, you know, she said, oh, you know, you're going to leave anyway to pursue your dreams. So, you know, pursue your dreams. So that's how it happened. I didn't even have to choose, you know. And when I was presented with a choice, I was trying to have both. But the thing was that it wasn't possible. So that was that.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, it's okay. But that's life, you know, it's life. And it made me who I am. And this is a part of the experience. It was very hurtful at the point because I was ready to go, you know, through some lengths to take this person with me. But it's okay, you know. It actually, it's a firework going up in Valencia because it's some sort of a national holiday. It's a festival of street figures called Fallas. Whatever that may sound. But yeah, so it made me who I am and it made me the person I am right now. And actually, it showed a lot about the other person too. So I think life has a way of showing you whatever is the right choice at that certain moment.
I was going to say that I've never been in a situation, but I realized I almost every time in a situation. Because okay. The last time, one of the reasons I broke up, I noticed that, well, I cook, I clean up, mm-hmm. and I do it too much, and it's just too much, it takes my time. So eventually, if that is the reason why you break up, seems like you do it for yourself, for your
exactly.
future, for your
exactly.
ambition.
Exactly.
So it doesn't like whether this or that.
Exactly.
But still, it's the same kind of choice.
Well, I chose success in business, my sister and friends, and relationships are not my priority. And Elena simply refused to choose. After all, in a good relationship, nobody asks you to choose. She's cheating, don't you think? Well, let's see how she will handle the next question. Would you rather have sex with the first and only partner for all of your life? Or not be able to spend more than one night with anyone?
It's a no-brainer for me, actually. Yeah, I mean, yeah, one person.
I'm pretty sure that in both of these choices, I would end up with no having sex at all.
Yeah, so it's the third option. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's actually the same because if you can have sex only with one person, mm-hmm. you also have opportunity stop having sex with this one
sure.
person and know for sure that it was your last sex.
Oh.
But also, if you only have one night stands, you also have spent your evening alone.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's second option.
It's the second option. So having one night stands, but sometimes, which means having no stands at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, you will like it. My point is,
uh-huh.
if you have to stuck with one person, most likely it won't be the best choice in the world.
Well, okay. Then I have a question. How does this person appear in life? I mean, that's the thing. That's the question. If I'm answering yes to the first option, if I know this is going to be my wife, and I'm not saying this because she's my wife, but for real, you know, bestest sex I ever had, but whatever, you know. So that's the thing. How do you know who this person is? Because if you're stuck with a person you have terrible sex with, that's the thing. No, that I don't agree to. If you're stuck with one person, but you have the best sex with that person and you work on that and it's a work in progress and whatever it is, you know, you have a chance of making it better or making it worse, but it's up to you. But it's with one person that you really, really like and you enjoy having sex with. Then I agree to that.
Well, patriarchal deal means that sex is penetrative sex.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, I was very, very conscious about choosing my first partner.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it should be the right person or something, but I wanted it to be joyful. I wanted to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, against all I was told in my childhood that the first time must be painful and it should be bad. Against all of that,
oh.
I didn't have penetrative sex with my first, six boyfriends.
Okay.
And my first penetrative sex was when I was 28.
Okay. Did you like it then?
Well, it was... now I would say it was okay. And I hope in 10 years I will say what the hell it was. But it at least wasn't painful. It wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was with a man I had insane chemistry with.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I was choosing this person,
mm-hmm.
For 10 years mm-hmm. of my sexual life.
Would you like to be assigned this person from the very beginning?
No, because in that case, I wouldn't get what, because Paul, I was learning how to express myself, how to say what I want. But idea is, if we consider this sex like first sex, because before that I had sex, it just wasn't penetrative. But if we consider patriarchal picture, it was my first sex.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, after 10 years of preparation and 10 years of choosing and learning, I still couldn't land with a person who was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, I need my entire life to learn. And when I'm 80, I will be ready to pick the right person. It'll still be a sexless life.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of my life I will learn.
Okay.
But at the same time, in personal relationship, sex is not the best and the very thing. So I think if I cannot have more than once sex, if I cannot have sex with one person more than once, then I can have relationships, some tenderness, some touches, something. And if it's a patriarchal question, then almost everything I like, actually. But idea is, maybe with that one person, one day I will decide, seems like today I'm for experiments and to try something I usually don't do, but maybe one time is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this one sex.
And then you remember it for the rest of your life?
No, or we not. Will have much better things. We will read books together.
Oh,
we'll have a cat together.
Oh, that's sweet.
And, a lot of sexual, but not sex things.
Not sex.
But
okay.
It still depends on definition. If
yeah,
we have,
exactly.
If we have feminist definition of sex, all my system dies.
Yeah. Here. No, I mean, it's hard for me to define because, you know, it will be revealing too much of my sex life, but, you know, all kinds of sex happen to me. All kinds of sex I practice currently, both in patriarchal and non-patriarchal ways. But I guess in a patriarchal point of view, all my sex is not sex because it's not with a man, you know, and it's kind of a what the heck is going on. But still, you know, if I take the definition of this question as in, you have one person and You work on that. Whatever you decide to do, have sex once or how many times you decide. But you have this one person you're good with, you have chemistry with, you have the bond with, and you are, as you say, stuck with that person. I don't mind. Like for me, it's work in progress. Everything is work in progress. And I don't mind going in depth with that one person instead of exploring around, you know, different partners. I would still rather be with one person. And I mean, even if the conditions were reversed and whoever I slept with first in real life is going to be my lifetime partner, I'm still fine with that because my first sexual experience was actually a good one. So I have no remorse about that. And if I stayed with that person, it's fine. I mean, there were some issues, of course, again, but this was not something I regret, and this is not something I would like to say, oh my God, no, never again. So yeah, I don't mind. I mean, I'm fine. At some point, we might stop having sex with that person, and that's also okay, you know? So whatever this turns out, I'm ready to explore it with one person. I'm probably less appealing to the audience right now because I'm so freaking monogamous, but, you know.
You may not have noticed, but all this time, I've been winning this game. Actually, in this game, we have a prize, a cookie. And it's the only reason we are arguing here. Because after each answer, Sasha, she is also sitting here with us, silently moves the cookie towards the one of us who was more convincing. And up to this very moment, it always was me. But with the last answer, Elena brought us back to the score 0-0. Well, I'll try to win it back.
I'm a migrant now. So to have only one partner in life, well, I'm okay with no having sex at all. Mm-hmm. I don't have it now. I only remember. we got there for a podcast and I remember.
Okay, sounds good. It's like remembrance, you know.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, my sex life. You
if
know?
The only partner I could have in my life, if it was only one person, I would stuck somewhere.
Why don't you believe in a good outcome?
Because I moved so many times and I left so many lives behind my back.
What about the life that you're building right now? Why don't you believe this life is going to be good? And
well,
you're going to have a great partner.
This life is going to be good, but it's my fourth life.
So?
If I had a partner, I'm pretty sure that it would be in my first or second life.
Why?
Well, because it was a life. Well, I
but
wasn't
now you
going
have a
to
new
skip
one.
It. I didn't wait it for my next life.
Yeah, so it happened, but doesn't mean you're going to have no partner in that life, no great partner in that life.
No, I mean, if I stuck with a partner from my second life. Mm-hmm. Whether I would be sexless or I would never have third life.
Okay,
we disagree here. Elena is absolutely monogamous and I would prefer one-night stands. And the discussion was heated, the cookie still lies in the middle. Score 0-0. I'll try to recoup. The fourth question. Would you rather cheat or be cheated?
Oh, God, it's a terrible question. It's a terrible question. Why did you come up with that?
For me, it's kind of easy.
Okay, go ahead.
To be cheated.
To be cheated on?
Yes.
Why?
Why? Mm-hmm. Well, it's very easy. If I cheat, it's mm-hmm. something I do. Mm-hmm. Something what is about me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a person who's stuck in relationships and cannot find them. So I have to cheat to have something I want to. And I don't want to be this person who lies. Well, I should be very uncomfortable and feel unsafe if I need to lie. So I don't want to be that about me. But, well, it's sad when people around me do some bad things. Mm-hmm. But it's on them. It's
That's
not
true.
About me. So I choose to be cheated on.
It's a good choice. Actually, I had both in my life. And both of those things were excruciating, absolutely freaking. They were terrible. I mean, I can't say anything else. Like, both are absolutely freaking terrible. I agree with you. I agree with you about something that you do versus something that's being done on you. But it's just, what kills me about being cheated on is the part of the guessing, when you feel like the person you're with is lying to you. That's the terrible part. And they're all like, it's always the little things. It's the detachment you feel. Like, for example, there was a case when I went to another country. I went to Poland on a shopping trip with my friend, and on the way there, our car died. And it was February or something. It was like minus 20 degrees, and we're stuck in the car, and it was pretty hard. Like, it was really like a kind of a near death experience, because we could get frozen to death. And I had to run around and find people to tow the car and fix it. It was super terrible. And when I tried to reach out to the person I was in a relationship with, she was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, it's interesting. And then I come back, and then I just opened the browser of our computer, and I saw that she had a party that day. And she, A, didn't tell me about that party. Be like, I know who might have been invited to that party. And the reason why she didn't tell me about that party was because the person she didn't want to tell me about was also there.
Oh my God, it's like a scene of Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is,
literally,
like,
I mean,
yeah. But the thing was, lesbian drama.
I probably was cheated, but it was very funny because it was partner who, for example, explained to me how much money he makes, and it was like big point. He was talking about it a lot, and I asked him, well, why in your 30s you live in a student's dorm?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I'm tired of rich life.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Well,
that's the kind of fatigue I want to experience.
Yeah, and I don't need it. I don't have anybody to invite, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I said, well, you have me to invite on. Well, we can meet at your place.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, he is lying to me about money, mm-hmm. but we don't share finances, so I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why he lies. Obviously, he lies.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months, 2 months later, I was sitting with my friends, with my sister and my friend, and I said that I liked his text about himself in Tinder and wanted to show open, mm-hmm. and it's different, and a new forest there.
Okay.
And I wrote him something like, you are updating your Tinder?
Mm-hmm.
And he reacted very aggressively. It's a Nordish...
You're a stalker?
Page. Oh, nobody reacts anyway. Of course. I added new photo. Of course. You need to get rid of me.
Yeah.
Well, he started to, like, talk on behalf of me to me.
Yeah, of course.
So putting me in position when I have to argue with imaginary myself, mm-hmm. and convince him that I'm not breaking up with you, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking. I just said that I'm not comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I thought, seems like he's cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is what our relationships mm-hmm. are. Okay, mm-hmm. well, I maybe should reconsider how much I invest in that. And it wasn't like drama or something. I just felt, he's lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's mm-hmm. his problem. It's mm-hmm. on him.
That's a good, I think, you know, it's a good approach. You know, did you leave after that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, to me, it's a healthy approach. In most cases, they're gaslighting you. So you're like, what's going on? Like, I see that something is happening. And they're like, no, nothing. And they're like, you know, like, oh, yeah, where have you been? Nowhere, you know, like, and it's absolutely terrible. You feel like you're stuck in some sort of a very destructive loop, and you're like, it's you see the change in the person's behavior, and you start questioning yourself, and you're like, what have I done? La 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 la. And maybe maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm imagining things. And normally the other person is like, yes, you're imagining things. And it's so terrible. Like, it's absolutely freaking terrible. And then, like, I was on the other side of that when I cheated, and I felt absolutely terrible as well. Like, I felt like horseshit. And I was so sick of lying all the time and of trying to figure things out, you know, and I honestly couldn't figure things out. Like, I honestly was trying to choose between two people and I couldn't choose and I was stuck and I had to lie to both of them and it was absolutely freaking horrendous. So I know I have to choose, but both are terrible. And I mean, I'm going to choose the same that you did, just because when I was cheating, it was absolutely, I don't know, soul crushing for me. So now that I'm in therapy, being cheated on feels lighter, you know, and I'm able to recognize the signs much better. And I don't question myself as, you know, that often. So for me, it's easier to recover, I guess, from some sort of cheating experiences. And I am not likely to cheat myself. So I would choose the first option.
Well, for different reasons, we agreed again. And the cookie still lies exactly between us. The fifth question. Would you rather enjoy every sex but not be able to deliver pleasure, or vice versa?
Yeah, my wife is going to bed. Okay.
Yes. I mean, at least in imaginary world, when I have this choice, yeah. I want to make choice in which I have orgasms every time.
Okay, yes, I'll
and
make
you know,
a correction.
This thing, like psychological orgasm.
Yeah.
He at least can have this, enjoying
okay.
what
it's
a
good.
Wonderful orgasm he gave me.
Oh, good. No, actually, I'd make a correction here. I would love to have, like, if that was a possibility. Oops. The sock is going down. So if this was heterosexual sex, you know, penetrative sex, whatever, but heterosexual sex, I would choose the second option. I would have orgasm, or first, was it first? I would have orgasms every time for men, whatever. But if in non-heterosexual sex, I would be the giver. So that's what I would choose. It
wow.
really depends on the position.
So
yes.
kind of, it's a disagreement, but no disagreement
no,
here.
No, no, no.
Like we both
you're
want orgasms
so
for girls.
You're
we vote for female orgasms.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's a happy wife laughing. Yeah, 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 yeah. A family catastrophe averted. See, she's really happy about that. Yeah. I just sealed the deal, okay? Yeah, yeah, don't ask. I mean, really?
Okay, it looks like we got carried away with this idea of continuous orgasms and completely forgot about the game. The cookie remains in the middle and no one gets it tonight. But we still had a great time. And thank you for being with us. And if you have arguments that would be a game changer for our discussion, please tell us in the comment section. It was Fucking English. Keep it fun, keep it consensual, and see you in 2 weeks.